It's time again for PolitiFact Virginia on a special day and time this week, and we're joined again today by reporters Jacob Geiger and Sean Gorman of the PolitiFact Virginia fact-checking service at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Jacob, let's start with you today. I want to ask you about a comment made by U.S. Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat from Virginia. He said, quote, "If you look at our tax mix, the share of corporate revenues as a percentage of our overall revenue mix has declined by about half over the last 30 years. When you check that out, what did you find?
We started by looking at how the government's revenue mix is divided up. About 40% comes from individual income taxes that you and I send in to Uncle Sam every April. Another 40% comes from the taxes we pay out of our paychecks and that our companies match for things like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now, corporate taxes make up just 10 to 12% of the overall revenue haul for the government. In 2009, they fell as low as 6.6% of the total government revenue. And that was down from a level of about 14% in 1979, so a reduction of more than half, like Warner cited. But if you go back further and look at the past decade, the gap has generally been smaller. There were a few years at the start of the decade, it was a drop of 50%, but most times it was a decline of around one quarter. That's actually the average. The decline was really one quarter over the decade from 2001 through 2010 compared to 30 years ago. So the senator's right for one of the individual years that there was a 50% drop in the share of corporate tax revenue as a part of overall revenue. But generally, the decline has not been as big as he suggests. So we rated the statement half true.
All right, Jacob, and you also wrote about a statement by the Democratic Party of Virginia about Governor McDonnell. They said Governor Bob McDonnell launched a, quote, raid on public education to pay for roads.
This is based on a bill proposed by McDonnell back during this winter's General Assembly session when he suggested diverting about $140 million in sales tax revenue from Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. So the cash, instead of going into the state's general fund, would have been used for road projects in those two regions. The measure didn't make it out of the Democratic-controlled Senate. Now, Virginia's general fund is estimated at about $16.5 billion for the current budget year. It gets money from income taxes, some sales taxes, and profits from the state-run liquor stores. Of those proceeds, about 40% go to education. So the rest is divided up among health and human services, public safety, and then other smaller programs. Now, transportation only gets a little money from the general fund. So if the $140 million were removed proportionally from all programs, schools would have lost about $54 million. That would have been less than 1% of the public education budget in Virginia this year. But the General Assembly, if it had approved the plan, could have decided to move the money from other programs and leave education alone. There's no guarantee one way or the other. But realistically, it would have been pretty tough to remove the cash from the fund without impacting education in some way, since it gets 40% of all general fund dollars. So McDonnell, in making his proposal, did not try to protect schools from the fallout. Because of these factors, we rated the statement mostly true.
Okay, Jacob, thanks. Let's turn now to your colleague, Sean Gorman, who wrote about a comment made by Congressman Randy Forbes, Republican of the 4th District. And he said, quote, "The Federal Register, which houses all Washington regulations, is 34,000 pages in length and weighs in at more than 340 pounds. Sounds intriguing. You checked out those figures, and what did you find?
Well, the Federal Register is where government agencies publish new rules and regulations they've put into effect. Now, Forbes is saying the size of that document is evidence of overregulation. It's true that much of what's in the register is some kind of regulation that's either finalized or in the process of being finalized, but there's a lot in there that's not a regulation, such as presidential proclamation and public notices agencies are required to publish about hearings and meetings. Now, the register comes out every business day, and it's usually a couple hundred pages long. The 34,000 page figure that Forbes cites is the running tally for how many pages had been published in 2011 as of mid-June. Now, when we looked at all the daily Federal Registers that had been published from January to mid-June, we counted nearly 36,000 pages. So Forbes is right about the page length. He even underestimates it. So how much does it weigh? Forbes' office said they took the weight of a standard sheet of copy paper and then calculated that 34,000 pages would weigh 340 pounds. Now, if each page of the register is published on a standard sheet of copy paper, then Forbes' calculations are correct. But here's the problem with the congressman's logic. The actual Federal Register, publishes pages on the front and back of a single sheet. So those 34,000 pages would be published on 17,000 sheets. So the weight is going to be a lot less than 340 pounds. We went to the Library of Virginia, checked out a 400-page copy of the Federal Register, and asked that it be weighed in the library's mailroom. It weighed in at just over a pound. Now, knowing the weight of 400 pages, we then did some division and found that the total weight of the 36,000 pages would come to about 110 pounds. That's less than a third of what Forbes said. As far as the numbers, Forbes is right on the page length but wrong on the weight, so his claim is half true.
All right. Thanks to Jacob Geiger and Sean Gorman of the PolitiFact Virginia Fact-Checking Service of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Thank you, Wayne.